David Kirkpatrick. And David's the lead singer and the founder of the group called Two Tone Pony. And it's time to say good morning to David. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Nigel. I'm very good, thank you.
Great. Nice to speak to you again after all this time. We last spoke to you when Two Tone Pony came out, which was enormously successful. And so congratulations on both the single for Born on the Road and, of course, the album and, of course, all the work Two Tone Pony's done as a group, because you really came out of nowhere, and away you went.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's a fair enough statement we'd all come from basically working professional careers, but every person in this band has, played music all their lives. And I basically have a link with all of them through some stage or not. So I've been making the point that I call it a band of mates, not just a band of musicians, because they all, not only are they musos that I admire playing with, but they're also good friends.
Well, that comes out in the sound, I think. Not only is your music tight, as it was on all through that album, but also it's apparent that there's a camaraderie there. If it seems to come across. I've never seen you live, but it seems to come across in what you do.
Well, that's great that it does come across, because obviously it's easier when it comes across live. It's pretty obvious. From the banter and the way we play together. I think the first albums are always, a bit of a broad spectrum, lots of different influences. I think this new single is going to be as part of a whole batch of new songs that we have recorded or are about to record, leading into a new album later on in the year. And I think we've really, honed our sound now. The band has been playing together for nearly 4 years now.
Gee.
So we unfortunately did lose one of our founding members, Ian Rhodes, because of hearing problems. He can't really take the risk of playing amplified music anymore. So we've got a new member, but another bloke who lives on the Central Coast where most of us live, here around Gosford, Wyong area. And Brandon Smith has joined, and he's a classically trained violinist who then moved into country. And so not only does he play fiddle, but he plays mandolin. And then he got very interested in playing lap steel. So he plays that as well, plus guitar and vocals. So, we've got a whole new palette of sounds to pick from now.
Well, I was going to say you've lost a member, unfortunately, and I noticed he's come out with a single recently, but you've lost a member, but you've picked up an extra dimension to your sound, which is great going forward.
It is. It's all good, and it's reinvigorated some of our older songs that we're doing live now. But now we can insert fiddle and mandolin and other stuff like that. So it's exciting. I'm really looking forward to the next 18 months. Really, I'm sort of mapping out the next 18 months for new music and then getting out and playing a bit more.
I want to take you back, if I can, to the album we spoke about, which is Born on the Road, which was also the first single which you released. I want to take you back to that for a moment. For the people who don't know who you're from and where you're from, give us a bit of a synopsis, because that song is very much all about you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very autobiographical song, and Basically, based on my own life, because as most people are usually aware, my parents, Slim Dusty and Joy McKean, when I was born, they were on the road 9 months a year doing shows. And so I was born in Rockhampton, Queensland, whilst they were on tour. A week later, Joy and her mother, who had stayed with her in Rockhampton, rejoined the show in Cairns. And I lived in a caravan for the next 6.5 years, travelling around Australia. And so, an unusual childhood. I basically grew up backstage. I'd be there in the cot and then toddler and there was always someone in the show, because they were a variety show. So, there was always someone there to keep an eye on you. So I really did have Samson the Strongman. He was a bloke in the show. And we had contortionists and trapeze artists. And so a very different bunch of people than the usual local neighbourhood.
Well, that's, you know, it's, you're not part gypsy, are you?
Well, they all are. That's what they call showies and musos.
Well, I suppose so, yes. Blood
there.
Well, there you are. You're almost born in a caravan, but not quite. But
yeah.
It's close enough. Why spoil the story? Suddenly, what inspired you? I mean, you've gone through a life as in the medical profession. You've presumably retired. Now you've decided on a new career as a musician in what I could probably call nicely your mature years.
Yeah.
So how did that sort of... I guess the question is, why?
Well, why? It's a love of playing music. I actually wanted to be able to, in retirement, hopefully have the time to sort of, you know, put aside to think about songs and actually try and write my own music. I didn't want to be in a cover band anymore. I wanted to try and write my own songs. And so with my background in country and then as a young person, I was always playing in rock bands. The sort of, you know, my songs are definitely more country than they are rock, but they're not traditional country, you know, Australiana songs. But
no.
I still very much have the, it's just in me that I like to tell a story. I like it to make, you know, get people involved in a song and want to know what's going to happen. And, you know, and I like playing, you know, guitar and I like playing in bands. I really love the thrill of playing live. I think it's such a great experience for both me and for the audience when it all connects. It's a wonderful thing.
Agreed. I'm chatting with Tess. You've just joined me. I'm chatting with David Kirkpatrick, and he's the lead singer of Two Tone Pony, and he's the founder of the band as well. And it's a very accomplished band, both vocally and instrumentally, with a wealth of original material, which we've just been speaking about. Now, did you think, in your case, it's in the genes? Or what experience?
I mean, I don't know, but my sister Anne, there was after she heard this song, she's, you know, this latest single, she said, "That's the best thing you've written, and you've really got the storytelling genes that like Joy did." So, you know, that's the best compliment I could possibly get.
Well,
so,
Joy's no slouch, is she? She's been around for quite a while, very successfully.
Yeah. you are moulded by your environment as well as your genes. And, I mean, so I grew up where music and musicians and doing this was not unusual. It was sort of like, yeah, that's what we do, you know. We go out, we play, we come home, we write songs, we go in and record them, we go on tour. That was the normal run of my life until I went to university. You know, I was at boarding school, obviously, and then at university, and then, you know, started working as a doctor, which is all-consuming. So, but as I said, even then, within 4 weeks of me being at Gosford Hospital, I had a band together of other doctors.
That's great. What were they called? Nothing medical? Interns or something?
Well, I was in one band called The Rhythm Method.
We'll move on, shall we? I love it. You're not in gynecology, are you? No, we won't go there. Please.
No.
Oh, there we are. So I imagine, by the sound of it, songwriting comes sort of naturally to you.
The music side of it, you know, the melodies, the music... And an idea. I usually to get an idea, and it might be just one lyric line or an idea, and I start to build the song around that. I do have to work hard at the lyrics, so I'll often have a chorus line or a half of a verse, and I know where the song's got to go. And like this single's been bouncing around in my head for 2 years. So
let's talk about that one.
I wasn't quite happy with it. I was coming back to it, doing stuff. You know, I actually finished one of the verses while I was kayaking. You know, because I was in, it's silent, it's just, I'm just singing it to myself, you're just on the water, you're paddling, there's beautiful surroundings, and you're totally cut off from all other distractions. And it's not the first time, one of the other songs on the other album, I wrote whilst walking along the beach behind my wife and her best friend, who are ahead of me, engrossed in conversation. and I was just wandering along behind them, and I had the idea, and by the time we finished our walk, I had it all in my head, so I had to sit down and write it down.
Let's talk about that new single. It's called You Haven't Heard of Me Yet. And you wrote it, obviously. How did it come about? You're talking about inspiration here. So what was the inspiration for that
this
one?
This is a very good, this is a classic, you know, example. I was down at staying at Perisher Valley. I was skiing, staying in a lodge there. And I'd go down to the little bar at the lodge every evening for happy hour. And there was a young lass behind the bar there most nights. And all sorts of different music would be playing, you know, rock, hip-hop, whatever. I go down one night and she's playing country music, which I wasn't expecting. So I said, oh, you know, that's good. I'm into country music. He said, yeah, I'm into it too. I really like it. And and then I sort of said, well, you know, I actually, you know, play in a band and do a bit of music. And that's when she looked me sort of up and down and said, well, tell me what you do again. And so it just stuck in my head. You know, every muso has to start in a bar, in the club, somewhere. And they have to go in there by themselves with looking scruffy, with battered up guitars. You know, no one taking much notice of them. But all the time they've got in their head that one day they're going to get out there, hopefully, and be up on the stage playing their own songs, and people are actually really into it and listening to them. So that's where the song, that's where the basis of the song came from.
Tell me, does the barmaid know about this? Does she know about what happened?
No. I'll have to. I don't remember her name, Chloe. She wasn't at the lodge when I went last year, but I might, hopefully, I won't be going there this year, but hopefully I will. But actually, the funny thing is that when we did the video for this song, the lass doing the playing the part of, not playing the part of the barmaid, she is one of the barmaids at our, at this little club that we play at a lot called Hardy's Bay Club on the Central Coast. So Jess is in the actual clip, and she has been at many of our gigs behind the bar.
There it is. But so that's, you know, there's a couple of interesting lines in that song, and I want to just run them by you and ask your view on them. There, you're out there chasing those country dreams. So, are you really chasing that dream in your band at the moment? Is this is your new dream?
I think we are. I mean, you know, we're not doing this to put food on the table. We're doing it because we'd love to be successful in terms of our music being readily played and readily heard and people wanting to hear it, and also for us to get our foot in the door in some of the festivals and country shows. So, we're still chasing that. You know, we haven't played enough to enough audiences that we'd like to, and that's really what we're going to try and target in the latter half of this year.
Well, David, you haven't been to Melbourne yet.
I know. We need to come to Melbourne. We need to go to a lot of places. So, we're getting, you know, people writing to us and saying, are you going to come to here or there? There's a nice little community hall or something there. And, Nigel, every time I'm interviewed, I say, look, if anyone's out there and they're interested, they're looking for a band, then by all means contact us through our website and let us know.
We'll give the website address in a minute. This is a paid announcement. No, it's not.
Yes.
You can send the check in the mail. Don't send it to the station. Send it to my private address.
Of course.
So there's the other interesting line there, which, of course, I think we probably know. But secondly, you don't need much money out of a bunch of...
Yeah, that is dead right.
So he needs the money, folks.
When I look at those royalties for the average, you know, punter, it's pretty pitiful. If you're a young muso trying to make a living out of this, you're not going to make it out of streams, unfortunately. You've got to get out there and play gigs and sell merchandise. That's just the way of the world if you're going to do this as a job.
Which brings me to my next point, actually, because you actually go to your website and you've got your album on sale there, and I think we should tell people that, because it seems you're not coming to Melbourne in the foreseeable. We're not going to be able to pick it up from the merchandise table at your thing, so there's something for you. But you can go to the website, folks, because it is a really good album. It's www.twotonepony.com. two-tone pony, all.com. And if you get the album from there, and there's, I think you can also get singles from there, but, you know, it's a great album. It came out about 18 months ago, didn't it, now?
Yeah.
And it went very high on the charts for a very first album. It made the top 10, I think, and depending what chart you look at.
We were very, very pleased to actually have an ARIA charting album as a debut album was way beyond what we expected.
Did that, so it obviously surprised you?
Well, yeah, in a way it did, because we're not, as I said, we weren't doing as much publicity then. We've got a great publicist, and she does a great job for us. But, yeah, to be fair, I mean, you're up against a lot of other people who are out there gigging full-time and, got booking agencies and all that sort of thing, which we don't. We're just a self-managed band that we do everything ourselves. I guess it was a nice validation. I would have always hoped that we got a charting album, and it really, I suppose, every writer and singer, it is good to get some validation back that, hey, it's not just me that likes my songs, other people do as well.
I think that's important as well, of course it is. So you haven't heard of me yet. So, folks, you have heard of him now. This is Two Tone Pony. This is David Kirkpatrick, and this is a really good song. And of course, the previous album was good. And of course, as he said, there'll be another album hopefully later in the year. But Two Tone Pony is really worth having a listen to, folks. If you haven't caught them before, have a listen to the album. You can stream it if you like, but go and buy a copy because it's the way it should be. I think. I mean, streaming is one thing, but. Having an album, and I guess streaming is nice to sort of hear the tracks and think, yes, I like the album or not, but I'm sure you will like the album. It's a great album. And country rock, I guess, is what I'd call it. Probably a bit more country than rock, but it's there in that same sort of bracket as bands like the Eagles, a bit of country rock bands. Well, this is our local version. So Born on the Road's the album, as we're talking about, and You Haven't Heard of Me Yet is the new single. And David, I'm going to leave you there, but I'm going to play that because I want people to hear you now.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time, and no need to wish you every success with this song because it's already charting very nicely, but all success anyway. But and we look forward to seeing you in Melbourne very soon, David.
I'll let you know when we're coming. Thanks, Nigel.
Okay, mate. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.